We're excited to talk to Jim Peterson, who's a former Warrior and now analyst for the Minnesota Timberwolves. And he joins us on the River Islands guest line here on Willard and Dibbs 95.7 The Game. Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Mark and Dan, good to talk to you guys, man.
It's great to have you. What's your read on this? Like, give us a little bit of an idea of this rest advantage that the Wolves have coming into this series, and how much you think that matters in this game tonight?
Well, I think it matters for preparations, you know, situations. I think that Chris Finch, like, one of the things that we wanted to do, because we've done it both ways. We've gotten into the playoffs through the play-in, and we've gotten into the playoffs by being in the top six. And I can tell you the last couple of years, you know, not having to go through the play-in situation was a lot better for this team. That's how we got out of the first round against Phoenix last year. We were able to game plan against Kevin Durant and the Phoenix Suns, and Ant was able to, you know, basically destroy that Suns team. You know, Karl Anthony Towns played great. We had a great run in that series. And then, you know, getting to the Western Conference Finals, I just think having that preparation time makes a huge difference. And for us, you know, getting that prep time for the Lakers as well, you know, just, you know, having that time to game plan just makes a difference. Having that week off as well helped us prepare against the Lakers. And I think it'll help here too. I mean, it hasn't helped the other team so far here in this second round because all the home teams have lost.
Right.
So, I mean, the Celtics took it on the chin last night, and, you know, so did OKC, obviously. And, Cleveland lost too in game one against Indiana. So I think, you know, it's kind of a cautionary tale too for Chris Finch, because he can say, hey, I know we've had this time off, guys, but look what happened to the other teams that had some time off. You got to come ready. And this Golden State team, I mean, they took their time getting here. I mean, they didn't come right after the game in Houston. They came the next day. They came in yesterday at noon. They didn't practice. So Steve Kerr getting his guys some rest, and they had shoot around, and they're getting ready for game one. So, you know, we'll see how much it helps Minnesota.
Yeah, an older team probably was the smart move for Steve Kerr. And, Jim, I'm fascinated by the arc of the year for Minnesota, because you go back to the end of February, you go to Utah and you lose and you fall to 32-29. But after that, Minnesota is one of the best teams in basketball. What did Coach Finch and the team do to make the adjustment to become a real juggernaut?
Well, you know, that game, you know, we had played the Lakers the game before, and Ant got his 16th technical foul. And so he missed that game in Utah that we lost, that helped in that situation as well. So, you know, Julius Randle, you know, he, when Minnesota was struggling there, like at the beginning of February, you know, he missed 15 games in that stretch. He did miss the entire month of February. So, and the Wolves during that stretch, you know, they lost nine games in that stretch, 10 games in that stretch that Julius was out. And Rudy was also out for part of that stretch as well. But once we got fully constituted, we got Dante DiVincenzo back, we got Julius Randle back, Rudy came back, Minnesota went on a big-time run. I think they only lost four games down the stretch from the beginning of March until the end of the season. So, and even in those four games that we lost, you know, one of them was against Indiana. We should have not even lost the four games. We should have won all those games that we lost. We were up 24 at Milwaukee and lost in the second half.
That game was crazy.
It was just an insane game.
Yep.
What I say is it's getting healthy. We lost and we're having difficulty closing games as well. We have been an awful clutch team all season long. We went 20-26. We played the most clutch games. So we were in every game. I mean, think about that. We had 46 clutch games. And so we lost 26 of those clutch games. And had we been better down, like, and I'm not even saying, like, in the clutch we were bad. We were bad in the last 30 seconds. And so Ant, to his credit, you know, got us into clutch and then was great in clutch. But then and when it came down to winning the game at the end of the game situation, we were not good. So had we won six or seven more of those clutch games, we would have been a 2 or 3 seed. And so, you know, that's why I say, once we got fully constituted at the beginning of March, Julius Randle has been so good. The way that he's been able to be playmake and play bully ball he plays such a different style than Karl Anthony Towns. And when you add Dante DiVincenzo, who we got in the Towns trade, Dante adds such a layer of toughness to our perimeter defense. He gives us another three-point shot. You guys know. Yep. You guys had him there at Golden State. You know what a tough guy he is. And so, you know, I just think that we're a better team now than we were last year. And I think that people – when I saw all the ESPN pundits, this came out before the Lakers series, not a single person at ESPN picked Minnesota to win the series. Not a single one. And I think that that took, you know, that gave our guys a lot of impetus to want to destroy the Lakers. And then I think this series, you know, we're looking at, people were asking me, who would I rather play, Houston or Golden State? And, you know, I'm kind of thinking, you know, Houston can't shoot as well as Golden State can. I think we got better matchups, maybe. Amen Thompson would be a problem guarding Ant, but I just think that Rudy Draymond Green, the Jimmy Butler angle coming back to Minnesota, he's going to get roasted tonight at Target Center. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be an awesome environment. Jimmy's going to have to deal with all that. He's only played three times here since he was traded in 18, by the way. It's 17-18 season. He's only played here three times. And Anthony Edwards got into it with Jimmy when he was a member of the Miami Heat, Ant's rookie year, and Jimmy was like trying to talk smack to Ant, and he didn't know who he was talking to because Ant went right back at him. And then also just the Steph Curry factor, you know, just, you know, all the smack that Draymond talks, Ant respecting Steph Curry so much. I just think this is going to be a fascinating series.
Jim Peterson is with us, former Warrior and current Wolves analyst, here on Willard and Dibs. Let's go a little deeper into that. Draymond Green and Rudy Gobert. What do you see in that matchup? And maybe, I think, give us a little bit more on Gobert. And what do we not know about him? How do his teammates feel about him? What is to the mystery of Rudy Gobert?
Rudy is so misunderstood. All the smack that Draymond talked about Rudy last year on TNT in the Dallas series, you know, how they were just mocking Rudy, the whole panel, Chuck, Shaq, Draymond, you know, to an extent, Kenny, too. I just think that Rudy is so misunderstood and so disrespected. And let me tell you this, like, first of all, Minnesota has been a top 10 defense the last 3 years since Rudy Gobert's been part of this team. We've only had one other season in 33 years where we had a top 10 defense. So Rudy comes here, we're a top 10 defense every year, and Rudy has been involved the last 10 years of his career. The teams that he's been on have been in the top 10 defensively 9 out of his last 10 years. So, I mean, if you want to have a top 10 defense, have Rudy Gobert on your team. And so from that standpoint, he doesn't get played off the floor defensively. Like, people think he can't guard on the perimeter. He absolutely can. And, you know, there's plenty of guys that get blown by on the perimeter when you close out to Luka Doncic or Steph Curry or whoever. It's just that when it happens to Rudy, there's no Rudy behind him to pick up the slack, you know, when he gets blown by. And so it looks worse than it actually is. The other thing is that for the reason why Rudy might get taken out of the game sometimes is just spacing issues. You know, it's just the same thing with Kevon Looney. You know, it's like the reason why Kevon Looney doesn't play because he's not a perimeter jump shooter and he just takes up space. He gets played off the court offensively, not defensively. And Kevon Looney's awesome player. And so the reason, you know, Rudy can sometimes is just Naz Reid is also a tremendous player. Naz Reid is such a great inside and out player, and he and Julius Randle both, I mean, they both can play bully ball. And so I just think it's going to be fascinating. You see, who does Draymond guard? Does Draymond guard Julius Randle? Who guards Julius Randle? Is it going to be Jimmy Butler? Are they going to start Kevon Looney, and are they going to have to play big to be able to put – who's going to guard Anthony Edwards? I mean, like, if Gary Payton II can't play – or can't play big minutes. I mean, I just don't know who's going to guard Anthony Edwards. You going to put Podziemski on him? I just can't wait to see how Steve Kerr matches up with this team.
Yeah, I think it's GP2, and you're right, Jim. Like, that's the hope to guard the Ant-Man, and I do think it's going to be Draymond having to guard Julius Randle, and then it comes down to what you're saying. Do they go to, I think, Quentin Post when you get Naz Reid out there, your stretch five against our stretch five, but the other one is, how do they... How do they find a way to get Rudy Gobert out of the paint? Have teams been able to get Rudy away through, you know, getting the cross match or the screen and roll and get Rudy Gobert away from the basket?
Well, you know, yeah, they're going to probably do a lot of switching, and you know, Rudy will go out to the perimeter and guard and defend, and he can actually do that. Like he's I'm just telling you, if you don't watch Rudy every night, you don't have an appreciation how good he is. You have to watch him every night. And so my son was an assistant coach with the Utah Jazz for 3 years, and Rudy was there for two of them. So I saw a lot of Jazz games, and I saw Rudy, and I saw Quinn Snyder used him. And they used Rudy a lot like in a spy role. And so he would guard whoever the worst shooter is. And so a lot of times, you know, teams put that worst shooter in the corner. And so he would just be zoning up. They call it spy Rudy. And so they spy him. And we'll do some of that. We'll do some switching. We'll play some zone. We'll mix defense. You saw a lot of zone in this last series against the Houston Rockets. So they'll utilize Rudy in a lot of different ways. But I just think that it's the chess match, and that's where Steve Kerr. I love Steve Kerr. I mean, you look at how he changed up the lineups. Whatever the lineup called for, and whatever he felt like from a coaching standpoint, the lineup needed. What they play four different lineups in a 7-game series.
Yep.
So I just think that Steve Kerr is willing to do that. He keeps teams off balance. I'm thinking that, you know, some of the reason why he did that is because he wanted to keep us guessing, because we have no idea how they're going to match up initially. So, GP too is the best matchup for Ant. I'm just going to be fascinated to see how much time Jimmy Butler or Draymond Green spend on Julius Randle, because Julius was a monster against the Rockets and against the Lakers. The Lakers did a great job neutralizing Rudy on the glass. They put a body on him for four games. For four games, Rudy Gobert was never left alone. And then in that fifth game, they just lost their focus. And what did Rudy do? He had 27 and 24 in the game. So if you don't put a body on Rudy Gobert, he's going to make you pay. And so that's going to be another factor that the Warriors have to deal with.
Jim, going to that Lakers series for the Wolves, what was, when you look back on it, what was the key thing the Wolves did to dominate that series the way they did, and how does that, whatever it was, however you answer it, how does that apply to this series?
Well, one of the things that really applies to this series, Mark and Dan, is like, I just think that when you think about transition defense, it's one of the things they spend a ton of time. I just going to the practices and shoot arounds leading up to the Lakers game and during the Lakers series, they spent a ton of time in transition defense. And we did the same thing the last couple of days here, working on getting back and getting matched. Because you know how dangerous this Warriors team is in transition, shooting threes, shooting walk-up threes, Pajemski shooting walk-up threes. Buddy Hield has killed us in the past this season, you know, doing that very thing. So getting back and getting matched is really super important. And Jimmy adds another complexity, because there's nobody better at, you know, when you pitch ahead to him, the way that he can collapse the defense by getting to the rim. He's not a 3-point threat, but he is a threat to collapse your defense by getting into the painted area and getting to the rim and getting fouled. So, we didn't foul the Lakers. We did a great job in transition. We won all the miscellaneous points, second chance points, fast break points, points off turnovers, getting to the free throw line. We out free throwed them. We didn't foul Luka. We didn't foul LeBron. We did a great job in that regard. And so all those factors, I think, are a big factor here. And also Ant and Julius were the two best players in the series. Ant was better than Luka. Julius was better than LeBron. And our 4 through 8 completely outplayed them.
Jim, my father is from Minnesota. He's from Cohasset International Falls. And so I have deep ties to Minnesota. And my thoughts and memories of the Minnesota people are that they're understanding and gentle, friendly, and kind. Are you guys really going to give it to Jimmy Butler? Can't we let bygones be bygones?
Oh, Jimmy, no, not Jimmy. The way Jimmy got out of Minnesota and the way that he got out of Philadelphia and the way that he got out of Miami, I'm not sure. I mean, it doesn't sit well. You know what I mean? And Jimmy, like, the way he went out of Minnesota, that whole meme about, you know, the last practice with Tibbs and the way he got on. You know, he took the four worst players on Minnesota's roster, and they played against Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins and Jeff Teague. And, you know, it just was something else. So it's going to be interesting. You know, it's been a long time, but these people up here, they got a long memory, and they're basketball savvy, just like Warrior fans. Another reason why I love this series, though, is the Oakland memories that I have being at the old Oakland Coliseum, being at Oracle. It was some of the greatest basketball I've ever seen in my entire life. That whole Steph, Klay Thompson run. It's just an unbelievable experience. And then Chase Center. It's just a great fan base. I got a lot of love for the Bay Area. And, I mean, just an incredible, incredible series. It's just going to be fascinating.
Jim, it's going to be awesome. It's great having you. I really do. I want to ask you this, though. After the comments you just made about the Jimmy Butler experience in all three of those cities, Jim, was he ever wrong? Was he ever wrong? Like, Joel Embiid. Oh, okay. Miami wouldn't pay him.
Hey, Mark, you want to know something?
Yeah.
You know, Anthony Edwards could be the same way, too. Like, Anthony Edwards, you know, I just think it's different management styles. You know, I mean, would you rather be managed by somebody that criticizes you every day and calls you soft and calls you an idiot? And is not supportive and tries to date your girlfriend or whoever who knows what is going on between Whoa. These people. I'm just saying, you know, I'm just saying the threat of it. You know what I mean? Like, or would you rather work and be managed by somebody that believes in you, that sees the best in you? And so Anthony Edwards is he saw all those things about Karl Anthony Towns, but he didn't choose to focus on that. He always, every day, pumped Karl up. And when Karl was the player of the game and he was doing the post-game interview, Anthony Edwards was waiting for Kat to get done and to pour water on him or give him a hug or support him. Like, give me Anthony Edwards type of player camaraderie any day.
Yeah, no, Jim, I get that. But then what did the organization do? They traded that guy. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, like Anthony Edwards, I think you've even detailed.
Jimmy is a great player. I loved watching him play. He was an incredible, incredible athlete, incredible player. He's a winner. I dig his game. I dig his work ethic. But I just don't dig the way that he forces his way out of situations.
I get it. That's just me.
And I think the guy's awesome. And the Warrior fans are lucky to have him because he's made them a better team and he's given them belief. And, but you got to pay him. You got to pay him to keep him.
Oh, yeah.
And they did. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Jim.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Jim, it's so fun to hear your voice. Jim, thank you.
You're bringing back the memories of Run TMC and like my youth in the late 80s and, you know, Timmy and Mitch and Chris and Tom Tolbert and, you know, back then, when you guys won a playoff series, it was parade worthy back in the day.
Well, I just was texting with Gary St. Jean today. I saw Gregory, his son, when I was playing for the Warriors, Greg was a baby. He was a toddler, basically. And so now he's a coach with the Los Angeles Lakers, but he'd been with Dallas, with Luka. And then he was in Phoenix last year with KD. And then he went to Los Angeles with JJ and just seeing Greg and just talking with him and texting with Saint today. Just was a lot of great memories. I mean, Chris Mullin and Tom Tolbert are two of my favorite teammates of all time. You know, that Run TMC, Tim Hardaway, Mitch Richmond, Chris Mullin, it didn't last long, but it was a mega force. It's still memorable. I mean, they're still talking about it.
Yep.
And, you know, and Nelly was just a folk hero in and of himself too. So it was a different era. He was ahead of his time. You know, the draw and kick game, the playing small ball lineup and spreading the floor, playing five out. What Nelly was so far ahead of his time, and Warrior fans were so lucky to be able to see that the We Believe Warrior team. And then also, I mean, I can't believe what it'll be like, you know, to be a fan of the Warrior and the Klay Thompson stuff. Curry era. Just what a blessing.
Jim, you are you're a true gentleman for coming on a game day. Thank you so much for doing it.
Okay, guys. We'll talk to you later.
Definitely.
Thanks, Jim.
There we go.
Mark and Dan.
Yeah, thank you. Jim Peterson, former Warrior.